We're expecting a decision from President Obama sometime this month about whether or not to increase the number of troops that we send to Afghanistan. But a question posed by Dexter Filkins in this weekend's New York Times magazine is it already too late to win in Afghanistan? Dexter Filkins is correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, and author of The Forever War. He joins us now from Istanbul. Good morning, Dexter.
Hi.
You spent a lot of time profiling the top commander in Afghanistan, General Stanley McChrystal, and he's certainly a very interesting character. I've read he comes from a military family, but there's all kinds of stories about him, about how he only eats one meal a day and gets up at the crack of dawn to go running. Tell me a little bit about Stanley McChrystal.
Well, he's all those things. He's pretty extraordinary. I mean, on one hand, you have a guy who's kind of a perfect physical specimen. He does. He sleeps 4 or 5 hours a night. Just seems to exist on black coffee, one meal a day. He pushes himself very, very hard. His cheeks are gaunt and sunken, and he's coiled and alert all the time. And yet, on the other hand, he's a very thoughtful guy, and you can tell by talking to him and watching him work. He's well read. He's relentlessly curious just by the questions that he asks people when you see him work. So on one hand he's very much a warrior in the old school, but at the same time clearly he's a very sharp guy.
Well, this doesn't sound very old school. This is General Stanley McChrystal.
I found in my experience that the best answers and approaches may be counterintuitive, i.e. the opposite of what it seems like you ought to do is what ought to be done. So when I'm asked the question of what approach should we take in Afghanistan, I say humility.
So Dexter Filkins, foreign correspondent for the New York Times, humility, that's not what we're used to hearing out of our generals?
No, but I think that's it in a nutshell. And I think what the United States learned, certainly in Iraq, and McChrystal spent 5 years in Iraq, basically in charge of commandos who went after terrorists and insurgents. But the lesson that they took away from Iraq was that you can't kill and capture your way out of something like this. That the supply of insurgents and people who hate you is essentially limitless. So if you just try to shoot them all, you'll be there forever. But instead, the approach now, and I think what they take away from Iraq, was that what worked is to make friends with the overwhelming majority of the people. And if you do that, and you do that by being humble and not telling people, imposing your views or your philosophies on people, but if you make friends with ordinary people and the vast majority of people, the insurgents will become marginalized, they'll wither away. And so that's a very different approach. So in a nutshell, killing Taliban is probably about the least important thing that's expected of American soldiers these days in Afghanistan.
That's one of the things that you write about in your article, and yet British Prime Minister Gordon Brown said he would send more troops to Afghanistan only if NATO and the Afghan government start to fight the Taliban more. So how do we reconcile what General McChrystal said about the Taliban not being the focus and what Prime Minister Gordon Brown wants?
Well, I think you can. I mean, and the reason is this. If you take where the British are and that's Helmand Province in the south, it's the most violent place. It's where all the opium comes from. The Taliban are very, very strong there. You've had the British have been there for years, only about 8,000 troops, nowhere near enough. This is the place where 10,000 American Marines just landed over the summer. They were sent there by President Obama. They are having to fight their way into places where no American or British soldiers have been. I mean, I was in a small place called Mian Poshte. It's in the south of the province along the Helmand River. And it's the first time that American soldiers have ever been down there, and there have been no British before them. And so the Taliban own the place. And so you can do all these things, but you first have to, of course, establish your presence, and that's what they're doing, and that requires fighting. And so the unit that I was with, the 2nd Battalion, 8th Regiment of the Marines, they fight every day. And if they don't go after the Taliban come after them. And so the fighting is very intense right now. And I think in a way that's what you saw in Iraq. I don't like to compare the two countries, and this certainly is not a surge that they're doing in Afghanistan. But if you remember, before the violence dropped dramatically in Iraq, it went up and it spiked. And that's for basically the same reason the Americans had to fight their way into places where they had not been before. And so I think that to answer your question, that's what Prime Minister Brown is thinking about when he says that.
Well, give us a sense for what things are like for the Afghani people. I mean, you went on foot patrols. You guys were walking through cornfields trying to avoid IEDs on the roads. It's 130 degrees there. You spoke with the villagers who are dealing with this fighting on a daily basis, and many of them didn't vote in the elections because the polling places were 6 hours away. They said they're not seeing signs of stable government. What are things like for the Afghani people?
Well, Afghanistan is like... It's like you're in the Old Testament. I mean, it's like the 4th century there. There's no electricity. There's no telephones. There's no running water. There are no paved roads. There are no schools. There's no hospitals. There's nothing. And so I think when we were down there in these very, very primitive conditions, going into places where the Taliban have basically controlled for years, the people are basically caught in the middle of this. And so they've got the Taliban on one side saying, if you cooperate with the Americans, we'll cut your throat. And then you've got the Americans showing up and saying, hey, we want to be your friend. And, you know, we want to do projects and we want to have elections and all these other things. And at the same time, the Americans are trying to bring in the Afghan government, which, you know, doesn't exist in any way down there. And so the people, the vast majority of the people, as far as I could see, are just stuck in the middle. They want peace. They want what everybody else wants in this world, which is just to be left alone. And yet they find that very, very hard to get to. And so when you come to them and you start to ask them questions, this is what they say. They say, if I cooperate with you, the Taliban will be here tonight, and they'll kill my whole family. And so that's what it's like to be an Afghan these days, particularly in a place like Helmand Province.
Well, in the magazine, you write that the lack of accomplishment is manifest wherever you go. So do you think that if President Obama honors Stanley McChrystal's request, if he brings more 40,000 more troops to Afghanistan, is there a chance of winning this war?
Well, that's the $64,000 question, and I don't.
Only $64,000.
I'm a reporter, and I'm only a reporter, and it's hard enough to figure out what happened yesterday.
Right, but I mean, in some of these things, would extra troops have helped the Echo Company accomplish their goals?
Of course, they would. I think the question, the real question that I think people should try to think about, I mean, as voters, and which President Obama is undoubtedly thinking about, is, okay, I give you the 60,000 or the 40,000 or 20,000. How long is it going to take? And what's the price? And I think that's what troubled me when I was there. That's the thing that I kept trying to think about, which is, let's say they get everything they need to do this and to build a government. How long is it going to take? And what's the cost? And I think all those things are very high. I mean, I think if the Americans prevail in Afghanistan, if General McChrystal gets the troops he wants, you're still talking about many years, more dead, and a lot more money. And there may be no alternative to that. Remember, this is the place where Al-Qaeda came from and brought September and brought the 9/11 attacks. Yeah. And so that's the dilemma. There are no easy choices here. I remember General Casey said, George Casey in Iraq said to me once, if it was easy, we would have done it by now.
Yeah. Dexter Filkins, foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. That's a good enough takeaway if I ever heard one. If it was easy, we would have done it by now.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.